Okay, you've got Scientology front groups, Apple Schools, Narcanon, ASIs, yes, Citizens Commission for Human Rights, CCHR, Garris, and the Safe Environment Fund. These are all front groups for Scientology?
Yes.
Are these used to get new recruits and to gain respectability for the organization?
Yeah, basically the purpose of the groups is to, the stated purpose is to so that Scientology becomes indispensable to the community. In other words, an Apple school will be set up and you will have non-staff members set up the school. However, they'll be very dedicated Scientologists and they're usually hand-picked.
Do you have any information that any of these five, five or six front groups are currently operating in Clearwater?
I believe there's a Jarius Society. I'm not sure what all groups there is down there.
Narcanon.
Narcanon. Okay.
Yes.
Narcanon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Many people don't know, in fact, I'm not even sure why you have these front groups, and what is an Apple school? Is that, you know, that sounds like a Beatles group. I know the Beatles had a corporation called Apple, and they would use this for their own promotional material. What is an Apple school? I mean, has it anything to do with the Beatles, or is it, I'm sure it doesn't, but I want to know for yourself. And Narcanon, what is that, and how effective is Narcanon in treating drug abuse?
Well,
your view.
Okay, Apple schools are schools that are set up by Scientology, the purpose of which is to gain respectability and to make the public aware of how normal Scientology is, so to speak.
Can non-Scientology children attend an Apple school?
Yes.
Is that encouraged?
Most of the time, yes, because the fees for Apple schools are the same as most other private schools, and most of the time Scientologists don't have the money to pay. In other words, a staff member's child certainly wouldn't go because they wouldn't have the money to pay for it.
The teachers in an Apple school have a certification. Are they certified from the state as to educational standards and practice?
It depends on the state. It depends on what the state laws are regarding certification of teachers in private schools.
Do you want to tell me about Narcanon?
Narcanon is a rehabilitation drug program which is run by Scientology. My experience was that it was not very successful. I really don't know about any of the other ones. But all these groups are set up, and there's various programs in the Guardian's office on how to set them up. Also, part of the training you receive while you're in the Guardian's office is that if you're asked by anyone, if the Guardian's office runs these schools, you're to tell them no. You're to say that you're a consultant, or that you help out, or that they use the technology of Scientology. However, you're never to tell outside of the Guardian's office that you are in fact running it, or that money goes into the Church of Scientology from these groups.
Was the Church of Scientology successful in getting Narcanon in Pinellas County or throughout the country? Were they successful in getting this?
You mean successful in establishing it?
In establishing it and setting up business.
I really don't know.
What is an ASI?
Applied Scholastics Institute. It's a Applied Scholastics.
What is the purpose of ASI, Applied Scholastic Institute?
It's to people that are having problems in certain areas in their studies or reading.
Primarily for school children or college-age children or for adults or two?
It's primarily for school children. However, they do accept people of all ages as far as I know.
Citizens Commission for Human Rights. What is that? Is that a civil rights group?
It's a group that is, the purpose is to expose psychiatric abuses and to cause what is called black PR, which is bad public relations for psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health, to do everything necessary or everything that's possible to get rid of psychiatry and psychiatrists.
It's nothing to do with civil rights or human rights as we know it with.
It's only to expose psychiatric abuses.
Nothing to do with minority rights. Jarris Society, is that for the elderly?
Yes. And that's just to expose problems within that the elderly people have.
I have personally heard members of the Jarrett Society on various talk shows around Pinellas County at various times.
The whole purpose of all these programs were set up particularly by Mary Sue Hubbard under the direction of Mr. Hubbard, and they were to gain good public relations for Scientology.
And the Safe Environment Fund, what is that?
The Safe Environment Fund was a fund that was set up to collect funds and support for the convicted, for the indicted executives of Scientology, Mary Sue Hubbard, Jay Kemper, those people. At all times, we were told that this was a big conspiracy by the government, that was the reason these people were indicted, and that these people had no time, had ever done anything wrong, it was not illegal, that the government had no information that was correct. We were not told that they were indeed guilty of the crimes, or that they even later pleaded guilty to the crime.
Back to the Guardian's office. Did you see the program? You mentioned programs in the Guardian's office. Did you see the programs in the Guardian's office? You mentioned the word program.
Oh yeah, there was many programs. Everything you do in the Guardian's office is off of a program. You don't do anything.
Did you participate in them? Did you see them? Could you tell me about them?
Well, there were so many of them. Everything you did, like I say, it was based on a program. If you were going to set up a Narcanon drug program, you worked off of a program. If you were going to go to the police station and try to get Mr. Hartwell arrested for extortion, you worked off of a program. Everything's on a program.
On that point, I might mention that before the hearings conclude, we will be introducing a packet of Guardian's Office programs in the city of Clearwater, Florida, which are probably about 2 inches thick, a copy of which will be given to each commissioner. And that was just Clearwater during a specific period of time, and only the documents that we could get our hands on. And there were approximately another 80,000 documents which were destroyed before they were received, and they were all what they called red box documents, which contained the most sensitive and highly secretive operations of the Guardian's office.
One program I remember in particular was at one point the gross income of the Flag land base Fort Harrison here dropped to about $1 million a week or a little below, which was considered to be a heavy draw because they were most of the time making between $2 and $3 million. At that time, the staff members at the Fort Harrison for the following week, their diet consisted of beans and rice as a punishment for this gross decline of their income. Somehow this information, I'm not sure how, got leaked out to the public, and I believe the press, and a program came into our organization in Las Vegas with all this information on it, and how we were supposed to handle with the press this fact. In other words, if the press asked us about it, we were to tell them how nutritious beans and rice were, and to also change the subject. In other words, we would say beans and rice are nutritious, however, the abuses of psychiatrists are really something you should talk about. If you get my meaning, I mean, it was like, you know, just a little bit of information and then drop it. That was part of the public relations training. If they ask you, if somebody asked you if the wall was blue, in other words, you might or you might not admit to that, but you would then talk about how horrible the pink wall was, in other words.
You throw the blame on someone else.
Yes.
When you had Narcanon and programs and others, did you ever have any MDs or DOs or anyone on your staff that has passed the state board?
On the staff, no. Although you were supposed to send the addicts to a doctor if there was problems.
But how could you get credibility without anyone running these programs having the educational background to back these up, these principles up?
Well, you know, I really don't have too much experience with other drug programs, but it was basically PR, you know. I mean, you could go in and you would have to get all the licenses by the state and follow the rules and regulations set up by the state or the city. But, and you would also assure them that, you know, a medical doctor was available and that type of thing. Okay, basically, a lot of the setup and questions that you're asking in that area were part of what they call B1, which is Branch 1, which is the Information or Intelligence Bureau. I was not real involved in that, so I really don't know exactly how they handled that at the time.
Just for my curiosity, when and why did you get into the Guardian's office?
Well, it was considered a promotion, basically, and...
Did you feel like your Mike was a bunch of elitists that you?
Oh yeah, you were told that the requirements to get into Guardian's office were quite high. Like, in other words, you had very intensive testing before you could get in there. You had to be a true blue Scientologist. You had to have a certain IQ. You couldn't have a history of real heavy drug use, or you had to have a stable background.
Apparently, you had to be rather bright to get into Guardian's. And the why did then these does the Scientologists prefer to have their people uneducated?
I really don't know.
When school is evil, no matter what I've heard from other bad, from other witnesses. Were you trained to be a guardian?
Oh, very heavily.
Can you tell me something about the training you went into to become a guardian?
Okay, well, as I said, when you first... Normally, you'd be approached to come into the Guardian's office. Someone would approach you, usually the assistant guardian who is in charge of the Guardian's office. And after you went through severe, intensive testing, you would be accepted. And they had various training levels. You had just general training levels, which would show you kind of the inside scoop on the Guardian's office. One of the very first things that... First of all, you were locked up. It was always locked up. You couldn't have any windows open or anything because of security. They were very heavy on security in the Guardian's office. One of the very first things that you would be taught would be shredding, what they call shredding, which basically would just take a piece of paper, perhaps, that you didn't want anyone else to see because of what was contained on that, and you would put it in the shredding machine. We had a shredding machine. Also, a procedure called vetting. And that was, when you would get these various programs in or orders, anything that you didn't want anybody other than a Guardian's office staff member to see, you would take a razor blade and cut that portion of it out. Now included in that would be anything that would show who the order came from. In other words, if I would receive an order from my boss, I would shred out, or vet out rather, the area that showed who the order came from, also who the order went to. Then you had to have a code so that you wouldn't get all these orders and confused. You had your own personal code. So you might put a little star by if it came from one person, or a little, you know, another type of mark if it came from someone else.
For the record, Exhibit 16 is the policy vetting hat write-up to which the witness just referred.
Okay, anything else that might be vetted would be anything would be considered sensitive. In other words, on some of the programs, like the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, there was a couple of lines in there about obliterating psychology and psychiatrists and that type of thing. Okay, you would vet out that area so that if anybody looking at it would think, oh, this was a really nice program just designed to help people who've been harmed. In other words, the real purpose of it would be vetted out so that it wouldn't be shown. Another thing that we were trained on was how to avoid subpoenas, how to handle the press. They have done.
How were you taught to handle the press?
Always attack, never defend. Mr. Hubbard said that it was impossible to defend, so you would always attack. There was also training on how to handle your attorneys, which was basically just to tell them what to do. And if you ran into an attorney who wouldn't do what you told them, you then would fire them and find someone else. How to handle public officials.
How do you handle public officials?
Well, basically, it depends on what they're after, or what you're after, really. If they make any type of a comment that you think is a slur on Scientology, you then attack them. Any public official that you were going before, an investigation would be done by the Information Bureau. Their background would be checked out very, very thoroughly. And let's say, for instance, you found out that there was something in their past that perhaps was not, you think that they wouldn't be known. Rather than coming right out and saying it, you would make an insinuation about it. Rather than coming out. Another part of the training was what they call FBI road drills, which you would pretend that the FBI was coming to raid your organization, and you would practice on how you would take care of that. Also, whoever was in charge of the Information Bureau, whoever would answer the door, in other words, and let's say the FBI was there and they saw the subpoena, whoever would answer the door would stall while the Information Bureau man would take all the real sensitive material that was in what's called either the gray file or the red box, would take that information and shred it while stalling the FBI. Also, if there was any threat of the FBI or the police or anybody coming to the organization, the gray file, red box information, and other information was taken to what's called an outside location, which only maybe two or three people within the organization even knew about or knew where it was at. That was the usual training that we had.
Were you trained in actual dirty tricks? Were you trained in dirty tricks like breaking and entering?
Yeah, I was never trained in dirty tricks. However, the Information Bureau was trained on that. In fact, one of the drills, what they call drills, in other words, the practicing they did in the Information Bureau, was a drill called Tell a Lie. The purpose of this was to learn to lie well. That was for the Information Bureau. I was never personally taught that. They're observed intelligence people doing.
Okay, I have many questions that I'm going to get turned over to my colleagues. Now, Mr. Burfield, I think we should start with you this time, I believe. Before we start, Mr. Flynn, you have some information?
Oh, okay. At the time that I was in the Guardian's office, there was a girl who I had been friends with for many years. Her name was Carol Garrity. She was in charge of public relations at the time. She has a lot of information regarding the various activities that myself and other people have testified to, because she was actually the person who would do public events and that type of thing.
Do you have any information that dirty tricks are going on within the city government now, or the city officials within the city of Clearwater?
Within the city of Clearwater? I have no.
You have no knowledge of that, or the answer is no?
I have no knowledge of it.
Mr. Burfield?
Yes, Mr. Flynn made reference to this red box item, and then you later alluded to it. What would there be in something like that?
Well, when I was in the Guardian's office, I really didn't know, other than the fact that it was obviously very, very sensitive because it was kept someplace separately. And when I heard reference to it made, I asked the man that was in charge of it, and he said that I wasn't allowed to know what was in it.
Question, I'm still not sure, what motivated you to get into Scientology?
Scientology?
You personally.
A friend of my husband's came up and discussed Scientology and the benefits and all the problems that he'd had and how much it had helped him. I was having, I had a history of having headaches occasionally. I also had a condition called hypoglycemia, which is a medical condition, low blood sugar. He told me that that could be, that it was found about, which is a psychological type problem, that it could be cured. He said that they had a lot of classes and a lot of different things that would help me with my children, that I'd be able to communicate better, that it was, you know, raised your IQ, a lot of different things. He gave me a book entitled Miracles for Breakfast, which is about children. and it seemed like a good book. I just decided to check it out.
Now, these cures, were they supposed to come through what they call auditing courses, or?
Yes.
Did you ever take any of these courses?
I took, at one time, up until New Era Dianetics came out, which is delivered here at the Fort Harrison a couple of years ago, I had received the largest amount of auditing that anyone could get.
And what did they do to help it?
What did they do to help it?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I still have the problems, if that's what you're referring to. I mean, I still get headaches, and I still have hypoglycemia.
So all the things that they told you that they would help you with, they did not help you, is that correct?
That's correct. They told me I'd be able to communicate better when, in fact, from my own personal experience and my observation of other Scientologists, they can't communicate as well because you learn a whole different language and other people don't understand. I couldn't even communicate with my own mother, who I'd always been very close to, because she didn't understand what I was saying. And I didn't know how to tell her what it meant, really.
When you were taking all these auditing courses and you found out they didn't help you, and then you went on to, as I understand, to help other people with auditing, wasn't there some doubt in your mind as to the validity or the deception of these courses?
I believed that I would get handled at the next level. In other words, when I would complain about it or I would be having problems, I was told that it was the next level. Then I was told that, you know, well, particularly when you go clear, what they call clear, which is described in Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, that this would take care of all the problems and that somewhere along the line it would get taken care of. So I believed this to be true at the time. After I went clear, and then I did above clear, there's what they call OT levels. I know you don't want to go into kind of the beliefs of it, so I'm a little hesitant to go into it too heavily, but there's just a certain level that you reach that for me was very damaging as far as my dependency upon Scientology. After I took that particular level, I believed that I needed more and more auditing to take care of the problem. It was not a problem that I had entered Scientology to handle. In other words, I hope I made myself clear, but it's like I went in for various reasons, and as I went higher and higher, I began to forget about the reasons I came in, and I became almost consumed with handling this one certain area.
So the purposes of which you went into Scientology, you never really accomplished those.
That's correct.
But yet you kept on with these courses and hopes that they would help you, is that correct?
That's correct. I spent about $40,000 trying to handle
them. Now you made reference to Hubbard's saying, is this a direct conversation with him or is this just something that was communicated?
Well, it would be, I never had a direct communication with Mr. Hubbard, but there was many, many tapes by Mr. Hubbard, and there was also policies written by Mr. Hubbard.
Well, we had a lot of testimony on the policies. Now, I think you said Clearwater was the flagship or the head ship, is that correct?
Yes.
And you were in Las Vegas?
Yes.
So you were, to a degree, in a regional office then, is that right?
Yes. It's called an outer area, is what it's called.
I guess what I'm trying to get straight in my mind is, how did you know for sure that if the policies that you had were Hubbard's policy, why didn't you just tell him to stick them in his ear or something like that?
Well, I knew they were Hubbard's policies because they were signed by, you know, with his name, and because Scientology operates on Mr. Hubbard's policy. I mean, Scientology belongs to Mr. Hubbard, and nothing is done without Mr. Hubbard's written consent. It's, you know, it's not like Joe Blow decides to, you know, do something. It's all Mr. Hubbard.
Well, let me use a comparison here. If it were the corporate world, if you were the corporate world and you had a policy and you disagreed with it, you'd gamble on it, on changing it or doing something about it. Did you ever think about that?
Yes.
Why didn't you do something about it?
I tried many times.
But again, did you have the right to challenge these policies, to write back? I guess I have to use the expression, how did you know that it wasn't some clown like Jim Burfield that was writing up these policies for you instead of L. Ron Hubbard?
That's a good question, but I might just point out at this point, the inquiry is into the organization, so the relevancy of whether it was Hubbard or the organization, that's the proper focus. But if the organization is practicing it, that's what the focus of the inquiry should be. So whether it was the clown or whether it was Mr. Hubbard is somewhat irrelevant if the organization did it. From a legal point of view.
Okay, but that's what I'm getting down to is, you know, that you just practice it because it was Hubbard's policy?
Yes. There was orders, all the orders were based on Hubbard's policy.
Do you know, did everyone practice this, whatever the policy would be that Hubbard proclaimed?
Yes. It's all over. They were all uniform. The Scientology is Hubbard, as far as I'm concerned. Anything else was considered what they called out tech, in other words, out technology. If you did something that was not based on Mr. Hubbard's policy, you'd be sent either to ethics or what they called cramming, where you would be shown that you were not practicing Scientology. It was called either out tech or it was called squirrel tech.
In some of your earlier testimony, you also made mention to Mr. Walder and Mr. Hartwell. Those are the same two people that testified earlier here?
Yes.
You know that to be a fact that they are the two that testified before?
Yes.
And in these, you also said that you were told that the fair game policy was done away with, but then when you got in there, you found out that it still was in effect. Is that correct?
Yes.
Didn't you at that time challenge the truth and... Well, the truth of the whole organization, that they're telling you we've done away with it, but yet we're still practicing?
Well, I was told that it caused bad public relations to use the name Fair Game. Also, I did at various times doubt many of the things that were happening within the organization and within Scientology in general. However, I still believed mentally that I needed Scientology to get rid of the problem that I had.
Now, I also understand you to say that you were involved in the attacks on the Hartwells, is that correct?
Not publicly, but sort of behind the scenes, yes.
Didn't you, in your own mind, wonder whether there was something fair or square about that?
Yes.
Did you do anything about it?
No.
You just accepted it as being the way the company should be run? Or?
I didn't think it should be run that way. However, I felt that there was nothing I could do about it, and I, at that point, I was so indoctrinated into Scientology, I felt that if I left Scientology, that I would die.
You actually, this was in your own mind that you would die?
Yes. That's part of some of the training I received, that if certain phenomena occur within a person, that it means that they're out of control, and that they could die from that, and I believed that was conceivable that that would happen to me.
Were you ever involved in any of these blown student situations?
I was aware of the policy, however, I did not practice it. I didn't agree with it. I was, at the time that I was in charge of the training in the organization, which is where the blown student policy is applied, I was not as indoctrinated as I was later, and I did not agree with the policy, therefore I did not practice it.
This thread that seems to run through a lot of the conversation, Scientology, if your marriage comes between you and Scientology, then Scientology comes first. Is that the way I would interpret it?
That's correct.
I don't know what